Well, welcome back to the XR Industry Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Scoggin, the CEO and co-founder of Arbor XR, along with my co-host, Will Stackable, our CMO and also a co-founder. And today we are joined by Tamisa Smittendorf, the Senior Director of Commercial Capability for Kellanova, formerly Kellogg's. She's a vet there, been there for almost 35 years, and she oversees learning and development initiatives, specifically with VR training. As well as Scott Stachew of Roundtable Learning, who has helped Kellanova with their XR programs. And we're very excited to have you both on the show and learn about what you've got going on at Kellanova.
We are so excited to be here. We really appreciate you having us on. Can't wait to get started.
Yeah, longtime user of the Arbor XR platform and listener of the podcast. So yeah, excited to be here as well.
Hey, that's great to hear. We didn't know we had any longtime listeners, so that's awesome, Scott. I appreciate that right out of the gate. There you go. Well, Tamisa, let's start with you. I'd love to hear about what was the problem that you were initially trying to solve when you began considering VR?
So we had this massive problem to solve. We used to have an on-site grocery store where we would bring our new hires, our new sales reps, into our headquarters office, and they would have the opportunity to go through this grocery store on site and be able to learn to upsell and learn our 8-step store call process. And if you can imagine back in the day, you would have like a headset, not like it is today, but you would be wired up. So there would be 5 of us in the back room. One person's job was to listen to what that person was saying as they were walking the store. We had another person who was through cameras watching their eye movement and tracking where they would see opportunities to sell in and upsell displays. And then we had another person who we hired to be a store manager that they would upsell to, and the list goes on. And you can imagine how incredibly expensive it is to have an on-site grocery store. Super cool because you've got the realness factor of going into that store and really, you know, onboarding and understanding what's happening in store. But you think about, you know, as we quarterly onboard new hires, it's incredibly expensive to have a store like that. So we closed it down.
Yeah, I can imagine the cost savings there. I mean, yeah, a fake store, which is really cool. And obviously that's what is able to separate, companies your size and do things with such excellence. But even what you're describing, it's like VR before VR. You're doing almost like manual eye tracking and interactions. That's really, really cool. And what was it, I guess, so that was a problem. What turns you on to VR as a potential solution?
Well, so I just happened to be at a chief learning officer exchange and I met Roundtable. And so I was explaining my situation and I really needed to be able to have something that replicated exactly what they were still going to do in store. And so Roundtable were great. Like immediately we had this partnership. They were the leaders in the space and they came up with multiple ideas for me. And so I was able to take that back and really think through kind of what options I wanted to pursue and the reason why. And, you know, it was great right off the bat. We just had a really good connection and I appreciated them giving me multiple options to pursue. Obviously, virtual reality, being in the headset, it's so incredibly immersive and it's something that people remember. It's a consistent way to train. You know, it wasn't having to keep an entire grocery store stocked and rotate and all of that. You get people in the headset and oh my gosh, not to mention there is no multitasking in a headset. So people are immersed in there. It's like you just drop them into the grocery store and they have an opportunity to learn in this immersive space. And guess what? It's a safe environment for people to learn. And they learn our 8-step store call process and they come out of the headset at the end of the week, quite honestly, very confident because it's real world. It's like they're in the actual grocery store. So their confidence goes up throughout the week.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, we talk about all these different benefits of VR training. Honestly, one that I often forget is the the fact you're able to reduce distraction and have focus, and something just as simple as that increases, you know, learner outcomes. Scott, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about Roundtable and kind of your perspective when you first connected with Tamisa and kind of the vision you had for working with Kellanova.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the easiest way to describe Roundtable is a creative learning solutions company. We have individuals here that are very smart and talented, but in multiple different modalities. So we have instructional designers, we create e-learning content, instructor-led training programs. We have developers and application developers for not only Unity and Unreal, but also some back-end programming for more in-depth applications. We have a manufacturing capability internal. So we can do really cool hands-on interactable applications, but also get into the fundamental e-learning applications. I think the initial discussion with Tamisa and the team actually opened up my eyes to what the current store was doing. And the concept we came up with when working with her and the team was not just about replicating the store in VR, but also figuring out what parts of this current training program they had put in place could be best suited towards some of those other ways of learning. So there are components that we built in e-learning, some of the fundamentals. And we focused more on the practical exam and some of the behavioral reinforcement in the VR application.
I like that. You know, one of the things we've seen again and again, and even one of the goals of this podcast, is to identify what are the characteristics of a successful VR deployment. And on our very short list is having a partner like a Roundtable. I think that's just so key. You got a company or someone with Tamisa's vision for here's a problem, and then having someone, you know, like a Roundtable that has the experience who can come in and really be boots on the ground and walk through and make sure that pilot's successful. We've just seen again and again that that's so, so important.
Yeah, Brad, to that point, it's got to be reasonable and it's got to be scalable. And so for us, it was all of that. And when I look for a vendor, a good partner to, you know, continue to partner with, it's really being able to provide that and just be the best. Like, I want the best, and that's what Roundtable is. They're the best in the industry.
I love it. I want to get into a bunch of use case questions and dive in, but I wanted to start by just kind of setting the table. How is Kellanova today using VR for retail sales training and onboarding? Can you walk us through what it looks like? Maybe even put us into the shoes of somebody who's starting out?
Yeah, so we bring our new hires in for about 4 days of onboarding, and they are retail sales reps that are out in the grocery stores upselling to those store managers. So they come in, and the very first thing we do is we get them into the headset and they learn our 8-step store call process. And we go through that with them. And then throughout the day, you know, it builds on what they're learning. So they're learning about our amazing powerhouse snacking brands. They're learning more about the retailer that they're servicing. So all of these things build on top of each other. And then for their capstone, we'll put them back in the headset again and have them go through the experience. And so this way we can track and measure from when they were first in the headset to when at the end of the week, you know, what they actually learned and what we would see from a results standpoint. And I mean, we've got really good metrics from the spinoff of our serial business and becoming Kellanova. We've taken about 100 new sales reps through the experience. And on average, from the first to the second time that they're in the headset, we've seen a 90% increase in displays. That is money.
What do you mean 90% increase in displays? What does that mean?
So from when they first started to when they first started in the headset to learning throughout the week and then doing that capstone again in the headset as they're in store, they upsold 90% more.
Oh, wow. And I have a question on that. This is not a VR question, but most people have no clue how the process works of Kellanova selling into a grocery store at all, right? And I even watched one of your training videos and I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm learning that part of it as well. So just to clarify, you've got these reps that go to stores, grocery stores, and the manager of that grocery store has authority to determine what product is placed where and what products they purchase. And so the goal of this is to equip your sales rep to better sell to that store manager. Is that how it works?
That's close to how it works. Some stores are like a planogram where, you know, we always go into the store, we walk the perimeter of the store, and then we get into the aisles that we service. And so we're looking to upsell outside of the aisle that we're actually in. And then we're also looking to make sure there's compliance within that aisle, because we don't want anybody stealing shelf space, right? The shelf is the gift that keeps on giving. So we've got to make sure that we are in stock and we are, you know, our presence is there on the shelf where it should be.
And what does that rep do to, like, what are the practical steps they're doing as they're connecting with the manager to ensure those things are happening?
Yeah, they're upselling. They have iPads with all kinds of store data that they can upsell to that manager. And so it's pretty robust, the tool sets that they have with our company. We have a lot of proprietary insights that they can, you know, upsell to the store manager. So in the compliance on shelf, to make sure we've seen a 50% increase in out of stocks from the first day they start in the training to the very end of the day or the end of the week. And 75% of all the safety issues that we've embedded within that journey in the headset, they've been able to identify and resolve. Now, we wanted 100%, but 75% to start is good. And so the metrics that you can really deliver are unbelievable. Even when you think about being in the headset, remember when I told you we had cameras in our old grocery store where we would watch where their eye tracking is? All of that can be done in the headsets now. So you can see if they overlooked a place to upsell a display, you can see that and you can get those metrics out of the headset.
Wow. Really interesting. One of the questions I had as you're talking, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have the same question, was there a tipping point where you felt a level of confidence in this new technology that you were willing to really have a radical change and shut down the training center? And was there a particular stat or moment, or was there a cohort that went through the training and it kind of just made sense? Take us back a little bit. When was that? Now it seems obvious as you're talking about it, but at some point this was a big pivot for your team.
Yeah. So once the decision was made to close the on-site grocery store, quite honestly, the very first thing we did is we took our new hires out into the grocery stores to see if that would work. And so we took like 50 different sales reps at 5 a.m. in the morning so we could get into the stores before the shoppers were there and we didn't disrupt the stores. And we took, you know, 10 in each store around Chicago and actually tried to train them in a real live grocery store. And that was an epic fail for us. We quickly realized one time that is not going to work. And so, you know, there's so many benefits to being able to leverage the headset. You think about not only reasonable, scalable, it's a way for everyone to learn. So they're all learning the same way, and you can build that journey for them very realistic. So it's like they feel as if they're in that grocery store. So just imagine that. We definitely tried other things and it just did not work out. And so, you know, my team, we said, look, we're gonna pursue virtual reality. And I know it's supposed to not be that really cool, shiny object that you pursue, because I hear that on your podcast, right? But I will tell you, for me, it was a little bit about the coolness factor. I'm not going to lie, because everyone that came into our on-site grocery store, that's all they talked about for weeks afterwards. Like, how cool was that? Now, all they talk about is their journey in the headset and how cool that was. And the questions throughout the week that we get from those learners are, hey, when I was in the headset, this, or, you know, when I was in the simulated grocery store, that. We don't get those questions about, the PowerPoints that you're teaching them, right? So it's just a really immersive way to learn, and our learners absolutely love it.
You know, it's easy for us. Yeah, agreed. Those of us that have been in the industry for a while, we've been in headsets, to forget how that first experience, when you first put it on, you know, they say there's no replacement for the real thing. Well, in some ways, you put the headset on, you experience that presence. It's difficult to explain to somebody else until you've tried it. But for those learners, I think it's probably an exciting moment. What kinds of reactions do you get on the ground from people? I'm sure they're coming in thinking, I'm going to be training in VR. This is so strange. What are the reactions you get after maybe the first day and then a week in after they've gone through it?
Look, they love it. And so this is a new way to learn. It's a differentiator, we believe, for us at Kellanova. And it's exciting. They're jazzed about it. They're going back to their managers. They're telling everybody about their experience. And, you know, quite honestly, we have not implemented this broadly in our organization. So it's our new hires that get this experience. We are looking at other use cases to see if we're going to roll it out, which I'm sure we will, for others in the organization. But right now, it's solely for our new hires. And so it's special. They love it.
Scott, I want to transition to you. Roundtable is one of the premier partners in the space for companies looking to build XR programs. You've seen it all over the years. When you get approached by Kellanova with kind of this unique problem, and they're wanting to take a very sophisticated training center, eye tracking all around, and they want to move it to VR, how do you go about that? What's your process, and where do you start?
We start with a really good conversation, to be honest. Heading out to the headquarters with a group of individuals from our organization that have different viewpoints. And a lot of times it's not just trying to come up with a solution that fits XR. It's listening to what the actual problem is and where can XR fit in best. And that's what I really loved about our collaborative process that we had with Kellanova, listening to what they were actually doing and how can we come up with the right solution for it. You know, Tamissa already alluded to this. I know it's kind of hard on a podcast because the listeners aren't visualizing right now what the content looks like. But I implore you to go on our site if you can and get some of these clips that we have to see what we've done. But imagine yourself in a grocery store in virtual reality and given the freedom. And this is the biggest key to what we create, is giving people freedom of choice. We're not forcing ABC selection items on a text box. They have an iPad in real life that they can access some information. So we're giving them an iPad in virtual reality. And within that iPad, they have the opportunity to choose an opportunity, a safety issue, to restock a shelf. So we're giving them the ability to make these cognitive decisions on their own as they're walking the perimeter of a grocery store. And if they see a location that looks really good for placing an opportunity, they can decide to do that at any point in time. And it's not only just deciding that they want to place an opportunity, they can then choose what product they want to place there and exactly where in the aisle it should be placed. So they're practicing things in real time. And like Tamissa mentioned, the analytics and metrics part, I think, is where the real power comes into play, because after they've gone through this entire process, they can then look at a score, of course, but an instructor can look and see where did they place that. Maybe they picked the right product, but the placement of that product doesn't fit best within that floor plan, on a shelf, on a planogram, or looking for stock within a shelf when they're facing and fixing a shelf. So it's a lot of physical interaction. It's a lot of maintaining, the psychological principles of embodied cognition and making sure that the body is working with the mind to reinforce the behaviors that we're trying to teach. But again, letting them explore, letting them play. You know, maybe I want to try putting a whole thing of Pringles in the center of the aisle here. Maybe I should pick a different product. I don't know. So it's kind of learning while doing, and then making sure that was the focus of what we did in XR, and taking all those great fundamental things that Tamissa mentioned and just working those back into the ILT portion of that entire week-long onboarding session. So getting the most out of the time that they're in the headset for what they needed to do.
Yeah, I think another thing that you mentioned in one of the videos that I watched, which it is really cool, and we can link that somewhere in the show notes, but just the consistency of the quality of the training, that it's always the same. And that's another one of those kind of, you know, you think about, we talked earlier to Miss, so you're not distracted, but now every single associate, no matter where they are in the world, is getting the exact same training experience. And I think that's powerful, and it's probably hard to measure. But especially from your perspective, Tamisa, to be able to have that kind of confidence in the training process, I'm sure is a big deal.
Yeah, you know what's a big deal, Brad, is the speed to proficiency. So if you think about it, you know, when I'm onboarding new hires, my team, it's all about that speed to proficiency. We want them to learn, and we want them to be able to go back and make that sale, because that's revenue. We want that. And so this, to me, is a good way from that consistency approach of everyone learning the same and being able to drive confidence and have that confidence to go out and upsell. Definitely.
I'll interject as well, because the other empowering thing to this is building the confidence for an associate to prepare themselves for the last part of this, which is the discussion with a store manager on upselling, on where to place product, on finding. So the eight-step process is all leading up to that and the culmination of that learning. So within this experience, even though this is the first major phase that we're working on with Tamisa, is to get the basics of your eight-step process in place. It's all designed ultimately to allow an associate to be prepared, to know that, hey, you know what, I saw that area in the front portion of the store that's perfect for a crate of Pringles, a pallet of Pringles, and when I'm done with my process, I'm going to have a one-on-one conversation with the store manager and try to get them to allow me to place that there. And I don't know, you know, the next phase of this is working on kind of that soft skill approach, the sales upsell approach, which is something we've actually done in the past with Tamisa's team, using different XR technologies. But this particular one is kind of the end goal, right? Get them familiar, confident, walking the store perimeter, doing the eight-step process, but then be prepared to have that conversation with a store manager.
You know, I like how you're talking about the progression of building a VR program. And maybe we'd love to hear from both of you briefly, but maybe Scott, you could start. There's a huge scope of things you could focus on. And even with the training that you're doing at Kellanova, there's, you know, where does it end, right? That you could keep, and you, do you introduce AI at some point? When you're thinking about starting a new VR program, how do you keep it simple? How do you scope it? And where can you identify an effective place to start?
So identifying the effective place, what's the problem, right? What is our true problem? And I know that's difficult, and that's a question that's always asked of any modality. It doesn't have to be XR related, but any training solution always has a problem. But making sure it's the right problem, and then from that problem breaking down what behaviors need to change to fix that problem. So if there's a single problem that you're seeing a loss in the company, or it's a safety issue, people are getting injured in the company, you know, those are the easiest ones to pick out. The harder ones are the intangible concepts of, hey, if we're teaching people to be more confident, it increases sales, but how do you measure confidence in an individual? There's not really a metric within an organization to look at that. So we're starting with the bigger problems, and we're helping individuals whittle that down to what are the behaviors that are best suited to fixing those problems. And then what are those behaviors that are then going to be best suited for XR? Because that's kind of the start of it. But you're right, building on that is the bigger picture. So, you know, the investment people make, I often hear people say, hey, it's going to be a huge three-dimensional geometry investment. You know, all of the geometry for the stores and things that we have to interact with, that it is, truly, it is an investment. But the nice thing about it is that once you've invested in that, you've got it to use for anything you want to do. You have a whole grocery store built out with Tamisa's team that, sure, we're doing eight-step process right now, but that same store environment will be used for those one-on-one interactions, possibly using AI and branch learning technologies. But we can also use that in those products that we've built in an AR function. So maybe we're going to take those items, put them into an iPad or into a Magic Leap headset, and let their sales team take those to a client and say, hey, I want you to visualize what it's like to see our product right here in your store, right here, and give them a device to see it and visualize it. So all of the things that we've helped them build can be broken up and used in different ways without incurring a whole new investment into the technology or what we built for them. And we also, you know, it's a blessing that we have great partnerships with other very large organizations, Walmart being one of them. And they have been very open to allowing even us using some of the geometry we've built with Walmart to allow Tamisa's team to work there. So we actually have not only a general grocery store, but we have a Walmart floor plan that we can also put Kellanova associates into to practice what they need to do in those environments. So it's leveraging what we have with our partners that they're willing to share and work with other organizations. But it's also just like you had mentioned, the knowledge that we've gained working with so many different types of verticals and how we can use what we've learned to help individuals with their goals.
Yeah. And you know, Will, just to your question, for me, it was all about experimenting with virtual reality. I didn't go in thinking that this would maybe take off like it has. I just wanted to experiment and get into it and really learn from it. And it's just evolved so much. It was scalable for us. It was reasonable and just a good way. So I started with the mindset of we're going to experiment, not knowing for sure if this was really going to take off like it has.
Yeah, that's great. It's fun to see, you know, and doing this podcast, and we have a pretty wide base of customers and companies we work with. And there's just, it's like there's endless use cases. And it still feels as exciting as all this is, it's like we're still early. And there's still so much untapped potential with VR and training and learning. Scott, I'd love to ask you, you gave an unsolicited plug to Arbor to start this this episode. But I'd love to hear, you know, if there's anything you'd want to share about how has Arbor been helpful in maybe overcoming some of the challenges of deploying in the settings that you're deploying in.
Oh my, yeah, it's a game changer. It's a lifesaver. So obviously before Arbor, when it comes to XR, you're pushing so much stuff and trying to teach people how to sideload and how do you get them to install an application and keep it updated. And it's always a headache. How do you help those individuals, especially when they grow and have multiple devices? When we first started working with Arbor, the ability for us to either be an organization owner or being part of an organization's instance within Arbor, that's been super helpful because now as a developer and as an ISP, I can create the content. Kellanova doesn't have to touch it. I can push it up to their instance. We can then deploy that to the headsets that they want, help them create their groups. I mean, all of the tools that Arbor has available for us to assist our partners has been super, super beneficial. I also love the fact that, you know, we've got the channels that we can create, our deployment channels. So if we want to test an application without pushing it to production, we can create those channels. And then we can share content with different types of organizations by getting their slugs, their organizational slugs, and just easily adding them to a single application. So whether it's an application that we build internally for roundtable learning as a general application, like a first-time VR application, for example, or something specific to our clients, it just makes it super easy for us to distribute that and then make sure that the clients have what they need and they're up to date, which has also been helpful because I've had individuals tell me, hey, you know, we're having this bug, this issue. I'm like, man, I could have sworn we fixed that. And now it's easy for me to look in there and say, okay, these devices have not been updated. They think they were, but they're not updated. Let me give you some clarification on how to do that. So that's been helpful. And I guess I should also say, just the support team that you guys have has been immediate. If I have a question, not only through, you know, chat within the website, but always giving me a direct line of contact if I really need to get in contact with somebody at Arbor. So overall, it's just been a great experience working with the platform.
That's great to hear, even more than I expected. I appreciate that, Scott. That's fun. It's fun to work with great partners like both of you all and to do meaningful things. You know, we talk about it often on the podcast, but I think it's always a good reminder for all of us that, I mean, I think there's something meaningful happening here. The way people learn is changing and we're all playing a different role in helping bring that new modality in different spheres, right? And I think eventually, you know, when you think about even traditional education, elementary, high school, it'll be fun to see how VR can change the way people learn. I'd like to maybe kind of move as we close here, Tamisa. We talked just a second ago about this kind of endless world of possibilities with VR training. From your perspective, like what's next? Like what's kind of your dream and vision for where VR training could go at Kellanova and beyond?
Yeah, we want to leverage this with our account executive organization or category management organization, continue to roll things out with supply chain. So we definitely want to go broader. There's so many use cases. We would absolutely love to get our retailers in the headset. And so it's like you said, it's really endless. And we started with one area and now we're rolling and people love it. And we've got what we need to continue down that path and really make a bigger difference than what we are today. And, you know, hats off to all of you guys, because honestly, when you were talking about Arbor, and we never had any issues. So, or if we did, Scott, you guys took care of everything.
Like, Scott's like, exactly.
it's a big deal when you implement something and have zero issues. How often does that happen? I mean, let's be real. And so I also love that fact that it was just a really smooth transaction, and not really transaction, implementation, very smooth implementation. And so from a user perspective, that's important.
Well, it's just important. We talk about this too. Just take just for VR, because I think there is so much inherent friction with VR. And I think a lot of leadership teams are kind of like, another new thing. And so to have a seamless implementation, I mean, that's important just for the growth of VR in general.
Tamista, I know we're running a little bit long here, but I did want to get your, you've a few times you've said the VR at Kellanova needs to be reasonable and scalable. And it feels like those are kind of principles you put in place. We've heard other companies use Jeremy Bailenson's, you know, let's focus on things that are difficult, dangerous, or expensive to simulate in the real world. But for your team, you know, reasonable and scalable is interesting to me. I'd love to hear a little bit about that. And I'll just say, we sometimes see companies that come in, they build out an initial pilot because they're excited about the technology, but it doesn't really ever go anywhere. And it seems at Kellanova that VR is now part of the fixture of your landscape for training. And I'm just curious, yeah, just give us a little bit on what does reasonable and scalable mean and why is that important to you?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Reasonable, it has to fit in my budget. So that's number one. And that's what I loved about Roundtable is that they gave me options to pursue. I knew I wanted to experiment with it and see where it went, see how it could be. And then it had to be scalable to continue to experiment in other areas and be able to leverage what we've got. And to Scott's point, now we have these beautiful stores that are all built out in our virtual environment that we can leverage in so many other different ways and different functions in our organization. So that to me is the reliability, scalability, and I would add, it's incredibly engaging. And for our sales organization, that's so important.
Yeah, we actually didn't get a chance to talk about it, but on the scalability factor, you know, the application we built, of course, is designed to be super effective in the XR space. But like I mentioned earlier, all of the associates have iPads in the field. So we also took the same application and developed an iPad version of it. So you can do the exact same experience from the iPad in the field, but now you're using your fingers to drag and look around the space and, you know, choosing where to put your opportunities. So it was, a value add, I would think, to the application to make sure that even if you don't have a VR headset available, you can still use the content we've built for Kellanova.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah. And you know what? One more thing to add. Sorry about that, Brad. You know, you think about the extended learning piece of it, which we didn't even get into quite honestly, but from the metrics that are pulled, I can take and my team can then go to the hiring manager to say, your new hire missed on every occasion upselling an impulse item right when you walked in the store or whatever the scenario is, to be able to say, make sure, you know, when you're working with them, you're coaching them on this opportunity. There are ways and metrics that you can pull from this that continue to basically live on the extension of learning of what are those things that opportunity areas that I can then tell their hiring manager, to basically work with them and help coach them on.
Yeah. Well, I think we definitely, we need to have you both back on So this has been awesome. And we really appreciate the time for sure. And maybe in 6 months, 9 months, you know, once you get through the next cycle, it'd be fun to get back on and kind of talk about how this has grown and what else you guys have got going on. But we appreciate you being on today. And we look forward to chatting again soon.
Loved it. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Will.
Yep. Talk soon.
Well, that was a lot of fun. It's always a little bit of a risk when you bring on two guests. And I thought that went well. I thought there was a lot of great content. And you can only imagine how much money they are saving or have saved since they shut down a fake store that was fully staffed and stocked and pretty cool.
I know. Who gets to eat all the groceries at that store? Do the employees come in and shop for it? Or yeah. No, I had the same thought. I was also, it's interesting talking to, anytime we talk to a mature XR program, and we're always talking to a whole range of companies and stages, but when you see a program like that, that's at scale and it's being used every day to train employees, it's always interesting to me to go back and understand like how at some point early on, for many companies, VR is an interesting new technology. It's a boondoggle. It's something kind of fun. Maybe you get a headset over Christmas and you want to think about how you could use it, you know, for training. But it's such a massive leap from that to full on, this is what we do. This is how we train employees. It has to work. It has to be reliable. It has to be scalable, like she mentioned. And I think as she was talking and as Scott was talking, what came to mind was, you know, I think it's great to have a VR pilot that starts small and you learn, you make mistakes. But when you want to make a significant change in your training programs, you need to go in with a level of intentionality and mm-hmm. seeing the way that roundtable came in, really scoped things out, just was on site and learning everything they could and soaking it up and then intentionally building out your programming step by step, your chances of success there are going to be so much higher. And it seems like that's a common denominator or common theme for a lot of the XR programs that have lasted, is that there are key leaders, both at the company and with partners like Roundtable, that are going about this in a really thoughtful, careful way and not just sort of bolting on new technology because it's a fun thing. So that to me was significant.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, we said on the show, just the key of having a partner. You need to have the thoughtfulness from the company and then you get
somebody who's done
partner.
It before. Yeah, who's walked that path. Yep. Everybody, especially in an emerging technology space, you need a guide who's been there. So it's fun.
Well, as always, we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us, and make sure you check us out wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll see you next time.